A national news station accidentally showed testicles instead of the solar eclipse. An employee of an art museum secretly hanged his own art in the museum. And millennials and Gen Z's trendy new splurge happens to be groceries. These are the weird stories that we're doing on this episode of Weird AF News, the only daily weird news podcast hosted by a shirtless comedian in a hot country. Let's go. Instead of the solar eclipse, a news station accidentally showed some testicles on a live television broadcast. I love pranks. This is like a super prank. Apparently, a Mexican TV station's solar eclipse coverage was totally nuts, guys. As in the pair of testicles that somehow ended up on the television screen, instead of the actual eclipse, shocked a lot of people, apparently. And, well, someone's now famous. look, guys, I'm on TV. Well, I mean, part of me's on TV. Now, apparently how it went down was news anchors from Mexico's RCG Media were commenting live just as the eclipse entered its totality. But things got a little interesting when they cut to a different angle of a bright light, presumably the sun. Seconds later, the testicles dipped into frame, blocking the light and giving audiences a brief but very up-close look at someone's family jewels. You could see the visible shock on the faces of the two anchors on set. I watched the clip. It's pretty good. And the testicles are they're memorable in that they're very hairy. I'll just say that. It was a very hairy set of family jewels there. It says, though RCG Media is likely not laughing over this on-air hiccup, the internet has gotten quite a kick out of the now viral mooning, joking that the testicle flashing did more damage to their eyesight than the actual eclipse did. Very funny. All right, I got questions. First of all, is this now called a scrotal eclipse? Is astronomy on this? This is a new phenomenon that we're going to see every 6 or 7 years. And I really don't want to see it again, to be honest with you. You're probably wondering, how did this go down? How did these testicles end up on a national news broadcast? Well, RCG Media reportedly decided it would be fun if they asked viewers to send in their own personal total eclipse footage, which is very stupid because, I mean, all the footage is going to look the same for the most part. You know, and send in a picture of your eclipse and yours. Oh, yeah. I saw the photos that everyone was posting on the gram. It's all the same. And you opening the door up for a prank like this, of course, some Chad out there is going to put his sack in front of a flashlight while his buddy Todd holds it. Like, yeah, I'm going to put that in there. I mean, it's just really silly. You should know that the next total solar eclipse in the U.S. isn't until 2044. So you guys have 20 years to plan your your testicle bomb. It's called a testicle bomb, am I right? It's kind of like Rick rolling someone. Is it called ball rolling? I don't even know. I'll tell you right now, from here on out, I'm going to call teabagging a Mexican eclipse. An employee of an art museum secretly hanged his own art in the museum. I'm going to guess he was fired, but let's find out. Maybe they liked it. Visitors to Munich's Pinakothek der Moderne. Did I say that correctly? Why did I say that with a French accent? Pinakothek der Moderne. I'm going to guess that means modern art museum. Because the word moderne is in there. Jonesy, you're a genius. I know. Thank you. It's called context clues, right, guys? Visitors to this museum come for modernist treasures by Mr. Pablo Picasso, Franz Marc, Oskar Schlemmer, and the like. But this month, some visitors to this art museum got a little something else that they didn't expect. The work of a museum employee. The artwork apparently was hung without permission on the walls alongside some masterpieces of the 20th century. I mean, you got to love this guy, right? He really believes in his stuff. Just hanging it. Didn't Banksy do this as well? I think he snuck some of his artwork into a museum or two. Says here the German media reported news of this guerrilla presentation this week, noting the police are now investigating in the hope of getting to the bottom of things. Per the police, the artist is a 51-year-old working in the technical services department. He'd allegedly hoped that showing his work in the museum would lead to future opportunities. All right. Or jail. That's another. You can hang your art pieces in the prison for sure, all over your walls. Details of this stunt remain unclear, it says. Well, I mean, it's pretty clear. You know, the guy works at the museum. He thought, why not put my art on the wall? Maybe someone will enjoy this and I can get famous and quit my job as a security guy at the museum, because that's lame. I got to stand around all day and tell people, don't touch it. Stay away. Back off. Don't touch the art. And that's not fun if you're an artist. But he was probably like, no, you can touch this one over here, this one over here. This is, do you know who this artist is? Oh, it is me. You can touch it. Touch it all day. It's okay. Now, if I recall, a very famous American hip-hop artist named Ludacris. You might have heard of Ludacris. I wanna lick, 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 lick you from your head to your toes. And I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. Then I wanna, you make it so good, I don't wanna leave. But I gotta know what your fantasy. Got a job at a radio station before he was famous. Got a job at the radio station and then started playing his own music on the station. It worked out for him, clearly. Now, it goes on to say the museum itself isn't really sure how long the work was on the wall before someone noticed it. A museum spokesperson said that the supervisors noticed something like this immediately. But apparently they didn't notice with this guy. The employee is being investigated and is not likely to face any major charges, thankfully. The only criminal offense he could face is a minor infraction for drilling two holes into a wall that contained nothing on it before the artwork was mounted to it. Well, he put it in an empty hallway? What are you doing, dude? You got to put it next to the Picasso if you want to get famous. Ludacris played his hip-hop tracks alongside, I'm guessing, Tupac and Jay-Z. Yeah. Yeah, this guy put it in an empty hallway. You might as well put it in the bathroom at that point above the urinal. What the hell, man? He drilled two holes. Who didn't see that? What's that drilling sound? That's Bob. He's we don't know what he's doing over there in the hallway. We think he might be putting up his own artwork. This is really funny. It does say the employee is facing a change in his employment status because of this antic. He was obviously let go by the museum and has been banned from re-entering it. But guys, I think he was framed. What do you think? Your Honor, allow me to present to the court Art Exhibit C. Now, you know, you got to feel bad for this guy. He's banned from the museum as well, which is kind of a kick in the total eclipse of the nuts. If I may do a callback to a previous story. You know, and in Germany, I feel very strongly about this. One thing history has taught us, if a German man aspires to be an artist, let's try and support that so that they don't get into politics. Yay! Millennials and Gen Z's trendy new splurge, groceries. That's right, groceries are the trendy new splurge. Splurging used to mean spending money on buzzy restaurants, expensive, extravagant vacations, and Air Jordans. These days, it has succumbed to a much more humble category. Groceries, apparently, are shaping up to be a top spending priority for younger generations, according to a new report from McKinsey and Company. I wouldn't call buying groceries a splurge. It's called I can't afford to eat out, so I'm cooking at home. Who the hell can afford to eat out these days? I can't afford restaurants either. I can't afford bars. I can't afford anything organic, so even when I buy groceries, I'm buying all the pesticides that I can afford. And then after I get sick from all these pesticides, in order to cure myself, I can't afford that either. So America, baby, America. Now, apparently this study here involved questioning 4,000 Americans from baby boomers to Gen Xers about the categories that they intend to splurge on this year. Groceries ranked highest for millennials and Gen Zers, apparently, outpacing restaurants, bars, travel, beauty, personal care, apparel, and fitness. All of these other categories are so much more expensive, though. I mean, especially the restaurants, bars, and travel. That I can see where this is coming from. Thankfully, I'm, although I'm traveling, I'm in places where the food, the restaurants are so cheap. I mean, I'm eating like a king for very little. I mean, I'm eating at more restaurants in the 1 week I've been here than I have for many months combined in the U.S. Because I can't afford to eat out in L.A. I just cannot. I cannot. Now, this is even affecting Gen Z here, which is a generation that I think didn't even know how to cook. apparently, they're figuring it out. As far as Gen Z goes, the money they choose to spend on high-quality snacks and beverages, it says, makes for expensive grocery bills. Well, it doesn't even have to be high-quality snacks and beverages to make your grocery bill expensive. It can just be the basic staples. That will make your grocery bill expensive. For the story here, we have one 23-year-old Gen Zer who said that he spends about $130 a week and a half on groceries. Quote, fancy sodas and drinks and random snacks at Trader Joe's account for the bulk of the bill. He also said he spent about $35 on protein bars. Wow, that's a lot on protein. Dude, just ditch the protein bars. Get a protein powder. I mean, that's how you save money there. And the protein powder will last you the whole month, hopefully, if you get, you know, you can get cheap protein powders. I don't know why I'm giving advice to this individual that isn't listening to this. It also says here, the success of the canned water brand Liquid Death also shows how young people are willing to spend on flashy food and beverages. The brand recently shot up to a valuation of $1.5 billion thanks to a recent round of funding. Yeah, I saw this. This Liquid Death. Everybody in LA is drinking this canned water, Liquid Death. And they spend a lot of money on this canned water. It's one of the dumbest trends I've ever seen. You spend $5, $6 on a can of water. Are you okay? You know, if you're buying stuff like that, obviously your grocery bills are going to be sky high. My point is, though, they're going to be high anyways. I would do without the Liquid Death and some of this other stuff. You got to curb these. That's a splurge. That's a luxury. Liquid Death, $7 water in a can is a luxury. It's like going out and buying boba. Yeah, Gen Z just loves the boba. $9 for a boba drink. What are you doing? The article ends by saying, no matter their preferences, all generations are feeling the pinch and the squeeze from inflation at grocery stores. Everyone is spending more than they were in previous years. The typical American household now needs to spend $445 more on groceries each month to purchase the same amount of goods they were spending only a year ago. Imagine that. An extra $445 more on groceries than a year ago. I heard that the grocery prices were up about 40%. From the previous year. That's just insane. Something needs to be done about that. I mean, these are basic staples that you need. You know, I mean, outside of the luxury items such as Liquid Death, you know, I'm still spending more for just the basics. It's just not okay. And at the end of the day, it's just corporate greed, man. All of these big grocery chains, Publix, Kroger, they're publicly traded companies. And so long as you have a publicly trading company, you're going to have the squeeze on the consumer to maximize profits. And shouldn't we have a meeting about this? Basic necessities shouldn't be provided by publicly traded companies that live on profits. And it's not just groceries. It's like electric companies. I would go so far as to say telecommunications companies. You know, your cell phone is, and your internet is, a basic necessity. But the companies that provide these services in the U.S. are all also publicly traded companies. AT&T, Verizon. What's the one I have? Spectrum. And they're constantly jacking up my bill, man. Constantly adding little fees here and there. Over the years, they go up and up and up. Because they have to answer to a bunch of old fat white dudes around a big oak desk 4 times a year about the profits. And of course, these people don't give a damn about the consumers, and they squeeze the crap out of the rest of us to the point where now we can't even afford a loaf of bread or a gallon of milk at the grocery store. It's not okay. Now, I'm sorry I'm going on a rant here, but it makes me very, very angry. And I stand by this very strongly. These companies shouldn't be allowed to make profits off of basic necessities. And if elected president, first item on my agenda. Total eclipse of the testes. Hi. Hello. How's everybody doing over there on the other side of this microphone? I want to thank everybody who's sent me messages. I appreciate all the love. Someone even bought me some coffees off my website, weirdafnews.com. Let's give it up for coming down. It's Michelle. Give it up for Michelle. Here she is, Michelle. Michelle, thank you so much for buying me coffees. Appreciate the support. She wrote me a nice message too. Sawadika, she wrote. I hope you're enjoying Thailand, Jonesy, and the Songkran Festival. I served as a Peace Corps volunteer in Thailand 10 years ago, and I had a strong feeling that you were there. I've been listening for about a year now to your podcast, and your rendition of the news is the best part of my morning routine. I hope the coffee-to-beer conversion rate gets you through the rest of your trip, Jonesy. Isn't that sweet? Michelle's buying me beers for my travels, and I got to hand it to you, Michelle. You got the clues, and you nailed it. I was in Thailand, and I'm in a new country now, but that's exactly where I was. And I dipped out just before this Songkran Festival began, unfortunately. I didn't know about it. If you guys are unfamiliar, just Google Songkran Festival. It's several days in Thailand. I assume Bangkok. I don't know if it's just Bangkok. It's probably the entire country. But they spray each other with squirt guns and water guns. They dump water on each other for several days. And by the way, you need it because it is so hot and humid in Thailand that I'd imagine that's pretty refreshing, that festival. There's probably a lot of drinking and carousing going on as well, I'd imagine. Unfortunately, I'm in another country for this time, so I'm not going to be able to experience Songkran Festival for 2024, but maybe next year. We'll see. Anyways, appreciate it, Michelle. Buying me the coffees. Big shout out to Michelle and family. And if you guys would like to buy me coffees like Michelle, support the show, go to weirdafnews.com. You can click on the coffee icon there. You can also join the Patreon there as well. I've been posting some pretty cool photos of my trip in the Patreon. And so if you are a member, make sure you visit that and check that out if you have time. If not, it's okay too. If you guys want to join the Patreon, go to patreon.com/weirdafnews. Download the Patreon app on your smartphone and do a search for Weird AF News. That's another way to do it. Now, tomorrow is going to be the Florida Friday episode. So between now and then, if you'd like to help me out, you can send me Florida stories. My email is funnyjones@gmail.com. Also on the Instagram @funnyjones, you can send articles there. Now I have a buildup of voicemails from callers over the past probably 2 weeks. So I apologize. I haven't posted voicemail messages in a bit. Been a little busy. So I'm going to take some time to go through those, and I'll publish a few of those after this if you want to stick around for that. You can always call the show as well, 646-450-2012. And good luck with your life, man. See you tomorrow.
Jonesy, it's Hannah. I could not help but notice that you had 3 stories about 2 stories about elephants. I mean, no, 2 stories about animals, one being an elephant and one being a goat, 2 stories about the eclipse, one group of people who tried to cancel the eclipse, and another group of prisoners who tried to sue the prison because they could not see the eclipse. And in fact, one prisoner was given special glasses for the eclipse long before the lockdown was instituted. And then you have just stories about the guy shooting his gun after a divorce, the 10-year-old who tried selling his gun, and then the person who threatened an employee with a gun because he got a discount. So yeah, I couldn't help but notice like a running theme in your stories. And then you have the goats and the elephants. I already said that. Oh, wow. Okay, good luck with your life, man.
Josie! Oh, my gosh. I think I got it. I was pretty sure you were in the Philippines or Thailand by the beer bottle clue. But the water guns, I'm going to narrow it down to maybe Bangkok. But that's just my guess. By the way, I am in sunny Arizona, and I'm wondering when you're going to do some shows out here, because I'm sure I could rustle up a whole crew of people to go see you and show you some good old-fashioned Arizona love in the good way, like not the weird way. Okay. Yeah, that got kind of strange. Anyways, good luck with your life, man.
Hey, Jonesy, it's Kelly and the kids from New York. The inmates won their case. It came back on appeal last night, and I heard it literally 5 seconds after I was done with your show. I'm very tired. I'm sorry. Safe viewing, but you're probably in Asia, so you won't see anything on Monday. But have fun, and good luck with your life, man.
Hi, Gen Z. It's Connie from Cedartown, Georgia. I haven't listened to today's episode yet, and I just got called up. I know where you are, or you said you were moving on, but I know where you were then. You said what you were drinking had a gold animal on the label. That sounds like Löwenbräu beer because they have a gold lion on their label. And Löwenbräu is German for lion's brew. You were in Germany and I'm jealous, very jealous. You're getting fresh beer and we have to have it shipped. That's really not fair. But I hope you did go on the brewery tour in Munich because that's what I would have done. But and I also agree with Kim in Pennsylvania about the man at Burger King pulling the gun on the employee because he got a discount. Why would you do that? Why would you want to pay more money? If somebody charges me less, I don't say anything unless it's a lot less. If they charge me more, then yeah, I say something. But I don't understand people not wanting a discount. Oh, my God. He must have more money than sense. That's all I can figure. But anyway, enjoy your traveling. And if you've missed an episode or two, and I'm okay with that, you need a break every now and then. So enjoy yourself. Drink lots more beer. And I love you, and I love all the weirdos out there. And I'll talk to you later.
Hey, Jonesy, it is Kimberly from Illinois. I was just wondering if you got your kicks above the waistline, sunshine.
Jonesy, what's up? Sorry, I'm chewing right now. I'm eating a chocolate chip cookie. I'm eating a fudgy, gooey, soft chocolate chip cookie right now. Okay, Jonesy, you, my friend, are traveling right now in Asia. My guess is that you are either in Bali, Indonesia, or Thailand. I'm leaning toward Thailand because of all the monks you said that are there, but I know you're in Asia. I hope you're having an awesome time, man. All right. Also the song that you sang in the Florida Friday episode, man, you made up a whole song. That was amazing. It was so good. It was so funny. It made me laugh so hard. I love you, Jonesy. By the way, this is Lily. I'm still alive and kicking. I have a new job starting soon. I'm going to work my way out of debt, and I'm going to come back from this. So, good luck with your podcast. Good luck with your life, man.
Hello, Jonesy. It's Captain Bye. I've just called to tell you that I've given up on you. You've broken me heart. And I won't be bothering you anymore. I've given up on you. I've decided to sail away, leaving you in the sunset behind me. Yes, I've given up hope that you and I will ever be shipmates together, that we'll sail the seas together and be lovers forever, Jonesy. That's right. You've not answered me. You've not said whether you would be my second mate on the sea of love. And so I sail off into the sunset and just move forward. And Jonesy, I can't forget you. I can't quit you, mate. I've got to have you. My lust is too great for you, Jonesy. It's an April Fool's. I can't forget you, Jonesy. I can't quit you. I've got to have you, Jonesy. Will you be mine? Could you be mine? Jonesy, you've got to be. You've got to be mine. Please, Jonesy, please. I'm begging you, Jonesy. It's an April Fool's. I've got to have you. I've got to have you. Like the salt of the sea, I can taste you, Jonesy.
Good afternoon. This is the caller formerly known as the future. I couldn't help but think about one of your comments that you made about regarding opening a bail bondsman in a Walmart, and you refer to yourself as a genius for coming up with this, but I couldn't help but think when thinking about it, it is actually a really quite terrible idea, and I wanted you to know that. Real estate, of course, you know, anchor tenants like Walmart bring retail outlets to them because there's a lot of foot traffic in and around Walmarts. You know, a bail bondsman, which doesn't actually need a storefront, when was the last time you actually wandered into a bondsman, for example, would then have to pay what's typically, you know, a percentage of whatever their gross is every month to Walmart as part of their lease agreement. So they would actually be losing money considering that most of their customers are going to come to them, whether they're located in a Walmart or not. They do tend to be located near or around jails because that's where the prisoners are. I mean, after all, they do have to travel to the jail to pay the bond. So it actually makes more sense since, you know, the real estate around jails is usually quite inexpensive considering, you know, crime is higher in neighborhoods that are, you know, jails are located in. Anyway, I just wanted to show you that it's actually quite the opposite. You know, opening a bondsman in a Walmart would be quite a bad idea, actually. However, I do laud you on your excellent use of irony, you know, actually, and also on a high form of comedy, what's called a reverse honor reverse. So, you know, you then go on to say that you're a genius. And that, therefore, you know, it's funny that you should be doing a podcast in a closet. So that's a, you know, a reverse on what the reality is. You know, you should, if you're a genius, you should be a millionaire, right? But then once you think it through and find that the idea of opening a bondsman in Walmart is actually not a good one, then that's the reverse on the original reverse. An ironic one, actually. Kudos. Take care.